This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Macca, and, well, not Tass because he's out doing something, but Anna Brown, who is Director of Legal Advocacy at the Human Rights Law Centre. G'day, Anna. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Macca? It's been a big week.
It's been a big week, and my apologies for my voice. I've got a bit of a... I'm not sure whether it's... Can you have such a thing as pollen throat?
I'm not sure.
Well, anyway.
You might have just created it.
Yeah, I think it's, you know... Look, the report on religious freedoms has been leaked. There were 20 recommendations. I see that Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister, I think he's done a bit of a somersault. All of a sudden he's decided that, yes, they do need federal legislation to protect children in schools against discrimination. This is a bit of a badly designed breakfast buffet, this report, isn't it? There's nothing on it that I think for our community is really good news, but I suppose it depends on how you interpret the recommendations, doesn't it?
Well, I think that the outcome today, having our Prime Minister and Leader of the Opposition come out in the last 24 hours,
yes,
saying it should be basic sort of human dignity and principle, but to recognise that kids need to be protected in schools and not be discriminated against. I mean, as we all know, until this week, I think most Australians weren't aware that these,
yes,
you know, anachronistic laws were even on the books. And it's something that organisations like the Human Rights Law Centre and many LGBTI advocacy groups have been campaigning for a long time without much success. And now we know why. Most people don't even know what the law is. And when they do, they're absolutely horrified that kids can be turned away from a school or punished because of who they are.
And let's just be really clear about this. What do these laws say now? They vary from state to state, obviously.
Yeah, they vary from state to state, and I won't go into detail because there's actually a lot of nuance and complexity across the different states and territories. But needless to say, most states and territories have exemptions that allow schools to discriminate against kids, but also teachers and obviously other faith-based organisations, even when they're delivering critical social services, like whether it's housing, family violence, disability, with taxpayer dollars.
Health.
The one limitation we have is Commonwealth-funded aged care. People may remember in 2013, that's where we got the federal protections for LGBTI people for the first time.
Yes.
And it came off the back of the then aged care minister, Mark Butler, conducting a consultation and launching an LGBTI ageing and aged care strategy. So there was an evidence base sort of hot off the press that demonstrated to the then Labor government that, oh, wow, like...
We actually need to do something.
We can't have these exemptions. And in fact, none of the aged care providers minded losing the exemptions. And indeed, we've seen them roll out. We've seen training, like Transgender Victoria run training for aged care providers without any controversy. In fact, the aged care providers are saying, we want this training.
This,
we want to do the right thing by our patients. And that's the sort of evidence we put to the Ruddock panel. When we met with them earlier this year, we had Brenda Appleton talking about those experiences training the aged care providers. We had LGBT people of faith talking about their experiences, saying this isn't a God versus gay. This is about people of faith across the country, and you know, including diverse communities from LGBT perspectives.
Anna, we have this subject has generated a lot of discussion this morning in this studio and on our screen. But I do have a question here from one of our listeners who says that many rainbow families have children in religious schools. What does this mean for them?
Yeah, well, this is why, and I was just on Sky News saying we welcome the Prime Minister's comments, but we need to see the details. So far he's referred to sexuality. We need to confirm absolutely that this applies to transgender and gender-diverse kids as well.
Correct.
And we also saw in his statement that he referred to expulsion of children. And the point I made was we need to make sure that once kids are in school, they don't face any discrimination from the school body, whether it's suspension, whether it's any kind of detriment. No harm should be permitted against children. These are kids that need to be worrying about their homework, not worrying about being punished because of who they are.
So, and what about their parents? Well, what if their parents happen to be...
That's what we need to ask as well, because at the moment the law does allow kids, and we do know of cases where kids have been expelled from school because of the sexuality of their parents. Mm. And, I mean, it's just appalling. So... Also, we know that there's schools out there that are doing the right thing, that are being inclusive and have, you know, really good track records when it comes to LGBT diversity and rainbow families. But unfortunately, we need to make sure our laws protect the vulnerable, and we actually drive change from the ground up and set a standard that says you can't discriminate against kids because of their parents' sexuality, because of their sexuality. You shouldn't be able to discriminate against teachers or sack them because of their sexuality or gender identity or pregnancy or, you know, the fact that they're they're in a de facto relationship. There's all sorts of discrimination that's currently allowed.
Even if, and one of the provisions of this was a situation where you're a teacher at a school and you then actually went into a relationship with someone and might have entered into, you know, marriage or something, or, you know, just living with them, that the school could, you know... could sack you for that. I mean...
Well, the one thing the report does do is say they recommend that you, once you're in a... If you're employed in a school now and you get married after the changes last year, then you shouldn't be allowed to be sacked. That's one thing they do recommend. And the other good thing they recommend, I mean, it's... assuming some discrimination's allowed, which is not a good thing, but they do say the schools must publish a policy that outlines their position. And we've long argued that, oh, these exemptions are out of date, they need to go, but if we're going to have to live with them, at least we should know whether we're going to be subjected to discrimination when we apply for a job or send our kid to school. And so I was really pleased to see that principle reflected at least. This idea that we have some transparency and these organisations can't just hide behind a blanket exemption.
But in that recommendation, it also said that the school must always act in the best interest of the child. How can it be in the best interest of the child?
Well, it's hard to see a situation where it could ever be in the best interest of a child for them to
say, well, expelled from you're an LGBTI kid. So we actually don't want you at the school, and that's in your best interest.
And who decides who the best interest? You know, who decides that? It can't be a principal that believes you're going to hell if you're homosexual, for example.
Anna, I'm going to be a little bit optimistic, hopefully, because I mean this has been a really very difficult set of issues for our community to deal with. I mean, here we are yet again under the microscope, and for what reason? Just because we're different, you know? Could you see that this might result in some significant changes right across the nation that remove some of these, you know, very, very negative boundaries and laws to really allow for, you know, equal access for everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this was, I think, for people that didn't know about the law, this was a distressing
week. An eye-opener.
And a lot of us, myself included, felt like we were back in to last year's mode. Yeah. You know, frenetic, distressed community, frenetic media sort of, confusing reporting, but actually this isn't, you know, incredibly positive discussion in that the Australian public actually knows how bad these laws are and there's some appetite to change them. And indeed, our Prime Minister has come out after, you know, the Gender Whisperer tweet and all those other comments earlier. He's actually come out and said, we need to support gay and trans kids in school. And, like, that's actually a really good thing.
I made a comment earlier that, let's have a marriage equality survey because we reckon everyone will vote against it. They didn't. Oh, let's have a religious freedoms inquiry and, you know, that'll prove us right. Well, it hasn't. I call it the exploding cigar politics. But I want to say in terms of there is a reason for us in a lot of ways to be positive. And I want to, you know, congratulate you for the work that's gone on around in Victoria. The changes that have now happened that allow, you know, for trans folk and birth certificates and marriage. And this is something that you know, we've lobbied behind the scenes.
It's very good.
Quietly, and you know, and it's been bipartisan.
Absolutely.
This is why we should be hopeful, because I do believe that what's happened this week, and I'll take on face value what the Prime Minister has said. Yeah, we can't discriminate against kids, but the devil is always in the detail.
Absolutely.
So we have to, as a community, we have to engage. And we know it works, because it's worked, you know, for the benefit, it's fantastic, of trans folk in Victoria, in terms of marriage and birth certificates and all that. So, well done.
Mm. No, thank you. Do we need to explain to people what
that
probably means?
Yeah, probably quickly. And we've got Karen Phelps on the phone. No, you're welcome.
You can hang around if you want.
You're welcome to stay for that chat if you want. Just quickly explain what that change means, Anna.
Yeah, sure. Well, last year when the Marriage Equality Act amendments were going through, one of the good things Attorney General George Brandis did was, and we talked to him about slipping these into the technical amendments, making sure that an exemption that allows state laws to refuse to allow trans people to change their birth certificates until they were unmarried, that exemption in federal law was removed. So that this change in federal law has meant that a bunch of state and territory governments have had to change their laws. But what not only has it improved the situation for trans people that have to have this horrible choice between staying married to the person they love and changing their gender to reflect who they are, it's opened up a discussion about these outdated birth certificate laws broadly. Because as most of us know, I mean, there's some really, again, outdated, anachronistic requirements that transgender people need to have surgery before they have a birth certificate that reflects who they are.
Yeah.
You don't need that for a passport.
No.
And it's been that way for a number of years. So we need our birth certificate laws to catch up so that people can have identity documents that reflect who they are.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.